your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter number 26. It's always a privilege and a pleasure to bring the Word of God, even Sunday school lesson this morning. Pastor's been covering Proverbs, and they've been very good. I've really enjoyed the Proverbs going chapter by chapter in Proverbs. And so I thought Psalm would be a good, maybe a switch here for a while. But Psalm number 26, we want to take a look at this chapter this morning. Many of the Psalms, of course, were written by David, and this one is also considered a Psalm of David. This was written by many scholars' estimates or students of the Word of God to be written at a time when there was famine in the land. And this famine came about because of King Saul and his sin of destroying the Gibeonite people. If you remember in Joshua, when they were conquering the land of Israel, they came upon a group of people, Gibeonites, and they had said, let's disguise ourselves, let's make it look like we came from a far country, and we're going to go, and they were trying to save themselves, because Israel, of course, Joshua and the children of Israel were coming through the promised land through Israel and conquering everybody. So the Gibeonites said, we don't want that. And so they went and came to Joshua and the army there and said, we're from a far country. Leave us alone and we'll be your servants. Swear to us, they said, remember? And so they swore, Joshua swore and said they wouldn't. Oh, they come to find out, they tricked them, but they were going to keep their word, amen? And so that's the setting. And so Saul, King Saul, destroyed the Gibeonites. And now God had put a famine on the land. And it kind of reminds me of, you know, the Bible says, you know, we reap what we sow. And I was wondering, you know, what are we leaving for our kids? Amen. In our great country, there's no doubt that this country was set up as a Christian nation. I know they don't, a lot of folks don't consider it Christian anymore. Although 80% of the people in the United States claim to be Christian, we've kind of backslid, haven't we? It's a shame to see what's going on in our country. But that's the setting of Psalm number 26. And I want, let's read this together. It's just 12 verses long. We want to read this, Psalm chapter 26. The Bible says, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go in with dissemblers. I have hated the congregation of evildoers, and will not sit with the wicked. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord, that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. This is Psalm 26. We want to look at this morning, but the subject is integrity. You notice that David, when he writes, he mentions integrity twice. He starts out with it in verse number one, judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. And he ends the chapter in verse 11, but as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. This is an important lesson for us today. It's important for each and every one of us. And as Pastor has said before, whenever he prepares a message, And any preacher who ever prepares a message or lesson, many times it speaks to the preparer, amen? It speaks to my heart. And I think it's important for us to look at this subject of integrity and look at it not just once, but many times. Integrity is just being a man of your word or a woman of your word or a person of your word. Amen? That's what integrity is. But the Bible has a context of this as being complete. It has the idea of being complete. Integrity is a very important aspect of our life. I'm trying to think of another word, but words fail me at this time, but it's very essence of Christianity, if you will. Integrity. It's something that no one can take from you, but you can lose integrity. And we need to look at it this morning. Let's pray. Dear and Father, I pray that you be with us. Guide and direct us as we look in these verses of chapter 26 of the book of Psalms, Lord. And I pray that you touch our hearts, Lord. And I know that the pastor is away. I pray that you be with him as he preaches this morning down in Racine. And I pray that you be with us now, guide and direct us. Lord, help us to all get something for our souls this morning, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, it's a little bit hard sometimes. Sunday morning we get up and we get off to church and we come in, sit down, and, you know, some of us are tired, you know. We get a little bit tired. And I look out. And I noticed, now I've noticed many times trying to follow along with the lesson, and people get a little drowsy, amen. So if you get tired this morning, don't worry about me. If you want to just, there's plenty of room in here. If you want to just lay down in the pews there, go ahead and help yourself. It reminds me of what Dr. Tom Malone said one time. He said, if you took all the people who fall asleep in church and lay them end to end, they'd be a lot more comfortable. And so if you want to be comfortable this morning, help yourself. But I want to talk about integrity this morning. It's a very important subject that we want to look at. Integrity has to do with, like I said, the completeness. In Colossians chapter 2 and verse 10, the Bible says, "And you are complete in him which is the head of all principality and power." Christians, if you're saved, you're a Christian this morning, amen. You ought to be a person of integrity. Like I said, someone can't take your integrity, but you can lose your integrity. Integrity has to do with completeness, being what we should be in the eyes of God. Colossians chapter 4 and verse number 12, the Bible says, "Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ, saluteth you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers that ye may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God." That should be our aim this morning, to stand complete and perfect. And that's perfect and completeness go hand in hand. He's not talking about being sinless. He's talking about being single-minded. That's what perfect means. And so we need to listen to the Word of God this morning. The Bible says that we are to stand perfect and complete in the will of God. This is the very essence, like I said, of Christianity, integrity. God expects us to be people of integrity, whose words mean something. Amen? When I first started to move out to Utah to work at a ministry out there, I had six children and wanted to take care of the family, so I went out and started cleaning windows. And I remember going to one place one time and saying, you know, I'll clean your windows and I'll charge this much. And the person there said, you know, if you will do what you say and do it for what you say you'll do it for, amen, you keep the price the same and not jack the price up, he said, you'll have plenty of work here in Utah. Talking about integrity, talking about keeping your word, amen, and it will carry us a long ways. But we need to have what we say mean something, so people aren't questioning us. Whose lives proves something. We lead by example. Amen? We lead by what we say and how people perceive us. By lip and by life, if you will. We must be unashamed and to be identified as Christians. Amen. With the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not just here and there, but it's daily. Every day that we live, we ought to be a person of integrity. That's what this chapter is about that we want to look at today. Job chapter 2, verse number 3 says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, Hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? And still he holdeth fast his integrity, although thou movest me against him to destroy him without cause." Is there not a better person outside of Jesus Christ in the Bible than Job? Amen? To show integrity. His own wife said, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" But Job would not lose his integrity. Amen. This morning, Job chapter 31, verse 1 through 6, he also says, "I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? And what inheritance of the Almighty from on high? Is not destruction to the wicked, and a strange punishment to the workers of iniquity? Doth not he see my ways and count all my steps? If I have walked with vanity, or if my foot hath hasted to deceit, let me be weighed in an even balance, that God may know mine integrity." Integrity, folks, it is vitally important for us as Christians. We need to learn it. We need to live it this morning. During this time, in this psalm, David is not saying that he is sinless. "Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity. I have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide." We're going to get into this a little bit more, but he's not saying he's sinless. But what he is saying is, "I'm not guilty in this instance." If this was written during this time of famine, people are wondering, what did the King David do? He's saying, "I am not at fault here." There's no reason why we can't, as Christians, be able to stand up when someone accuses us of something that we haven't done, to say, "I am guiltless in this," as David said. We are all sinners. I know I'm a sinner. Amen? And I know that every person here, according to the Word of God, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, there is none that doeth good, there is none that seeketh after God." And folks, we can remember that in our life, but we can live for God in integrity once we're saved. He's not saying he's guiltless. He's saying in this instance, today people are taught nothing about integrity. We don't teach integrity in schools, amen? They wonder why the murder rate is up and violent crime could be up and the things that are going on. Integrity, morals, are not taught in our public schools. Last time I went to a public school, I went to a graduation service. This was years ago. And it was there in Utah, and I was amazed. God was not mentioned one time. Not one time in that graduation service. Nobody said, "Thank God." They didn't have a prayer. It's a public school. And this is in Mormon country. And this is where folks who live and say, "Listen, we walk with God." Not one mention of God. Integrity. Today, people are taught nothing about integrity, nothing about morals. This costless, crossless faith is not biblical. A lot of churches don't teach integrity. Amen. We have to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, there's a few points here that I want to look at this morning. We'll be done. This is integrity. We're going to look at this verse by verse. First one, a life of integrity is an open life. An open life. Look for you, verse 1 and 2. Judge me, O Lord, for I have walked in mine integrity, have trusted also in the Lord, therefore I shall not slide. Examine me, O Lord, and prove me. Try my reins and my heart. David is saying, look at me, God, examine me. And that's why we say he's not saying here in this that he's sinless. He's saying in this instance, but look at me in this area. It's an open life. A life of integrity is an open life. David said, examine all of me. I am open. When they would take in the Old Testament, they had sacrifices. They would bring the sacrifice to the priest. And what would the priest do? Well, they would slit the throat of that animal and let the blood out and kill it for the sacrifice. But that wasn't the end of it. Then he would dissect that animal, open it up, and take out the very inward parts, and look at every organ that was important. Read through the Old Testament. That's what they did. They would take it, and they'd look at it, and they'd examine it. They'd make sure that that animal was worthy of sacrifice. It had to be free from disease, and from any birth defect of any kind, for it to be accepted as a sacrifice. That's examination, amen? Our lives shall be examinable, David said. We cannot hide from God. And that's what we need to learn from this very chapter, that our lives ought to be open unto God. Besides that, folks, we can't hide from God, can we? God knows everything. He knows where we've been. He knows where we're going. He knows what we think. I like what Job said here. He says, I made a covenant with mine eyes. Why then should I think upon a maid? For what portion of God is there from above? Our very thought life is examined by God. We ought to be open to God. And we ought to be saying to God, God, look at me. Examine me. And God, convict me. That's what we need to do. Have God's conviction. And a life of integrity is an open life. A life of integrity is an obedient life. Look what it says in verse number 3. For thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I have walked in thy truth. It is an obedient, he has walked. How we walk, what we do. Remember, David is not a sinless. We know of his sin with Bathsheba and numbering the people. You know, interesting highlight about his life, David's life, is that when he sinned, when he did the sin of adultery and even murder, 4 people died in that incident. Amen? You examine it. I'm not going to mention them all because I can't remember them all. I know his son Absalom died because of that. Another son was killed. But look through it. Count it. But you know, later on, David numbered the people. His pride, he went out and numbered the people. Even his general there said, don't do it, David. Don't number the people. You're not supposed to do that. But David's pride got the best of him. He said, I want to know how many armies I have. I want to know how many people we have. How is God blessed? And he puffed up in pride. Do you know 70,000 people died because of that sin? Tell you what, pride is a horrible, horrible thing. That was a side note. Let's get back here now that we know of his David's sin. Now he sinned with Bathsheba. He also sinned when he put Uriah the Hittite to death. He sinned when he numbered the people. But in this matter, this broken covenant with the Gibeonites that Saul had done, he is saying, Lord, I want to be right with you. And that's, as Christians, we can always be right with God. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to convict us, if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We don't have to be alienated from God from sin. We can be right with God. David says in verse number 3, thy loving kindness is before me. This was a motivating factor to David, the loving kindness of God. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, O despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. The goodness of God. Folks, we need to remember God is good to us. We need to remember that and keep it into our hearts. And it ought to be a motivating factor to serve God. We love and serve God not because we fear God. Or folks, we ought to fear God. Amen? And I'm not saying this towering fear, but a fear is a fear of respect. Respect God. Kind of like we fear law enforcement. You know, you ever go tooling down the freeway and you're just driving down and you notice Ohio's finest sitting there and you kind of look at your speedometer, I do anyways. That's a fear. That's a respect for those in authority. And we don't serve God just because of our respect for Him or our fear for Him or cowering Him. We serve God because we love Him. I like that hymn that's in our hymn book, Trust and Obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. We need not to quit obeying God. We need to follow Him. We need to say, God, I want to walk with You. I want to serve with You. That's what David is saying here. Verse 3, for Thy loving kindness is before mine eyes, and I've walked in Thy truth. The third aspect here of this chapter, a life of integrity is an overcoming life. An overcoming life. Look at verse number 4. I have not sat with vain persons, neither will I go with dissemblers. Dissemblers are hypocrites. That's what dissemblers are. They're disguised or to conceal. That's what the word means. Dissemble. Verse number 5 says this, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Evildoers are those who hate what is good. That's what evildoers are. And I think our political system and what we see in our country going on today, a lot of the what's going on, I believe, is a hatred of God. God, I'm not going to live the way You want to. We're going to live the way we want to. I mean, the homosexual problem that we have in the United States, it's horrible. It's because people shaking their fist in the face of God said, God, we're going to do what we want to do. The abortion issue. And just recently, the horrible laws that they have passed that even if a child is born alive, it's horrible, folks. It's people shaking their fist at God and say, we will do what we want to do. That's what it's all about today. It's a hatred of God. And I don't care what side that you might be on. There are folks on all sides that say, God, we will live our life the way we want to. Folks, don't listen. When God created the world, He didn't create a secular side and a spiritual side. It's all one. So you say, well, you're trying to put morals on the secular. Listen, God wants it all. Amen? It's not just the spiritual and the secular. There's no such thing in God's sight. When He created Adam and Eve, they were supposed to follow Him and serve Him. And I think that's what He wants the whole world to do. David says in verse number 5, I have hated the congregation of evildoers and will not sit with the wicked. Our world is full of people who hate anything that is good or decent. They make fun of people who try to do good. He speaks of separation in verses 4 and 5. And then he talks about sanctification. Look at what it says in verse number 6. I will wash mine hands in innocency, so will I compass thine altar, O Lord. He's gonna sanctify himself. Just to be sanctified means to be set aside for a purpose. Separation is come out from among you and be separate, saith the Lord. Amen. We're supposed to be a different people. And that's what his people were. That's what the Israel people, the people of Israel, were supposed to be different than the rest. And that's what we as Christians are supposed to be. A life of integrity is an overcoming life. To overcome sin, overcome the world. David separated himself from evil. He sanctifieth himself unto the Lord. That's what we're to do today. It is also a life of integrity. It's an overflowing life. A life of integrity is an overflowing life. Look at what it says in verse number 7. That I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving and tell of all thy wondrous works. That's what David was good at. That's all these psalms were just a glorifying God, praising God. What moves us today, folks? What drives us? I remember shortly after I was saved, I was working at a General Motors plant in Livonia, Michigan. And I remember after I got saved, I was sitting in a break area one time reading the Bible, and a guy came up and started talking to me. And you know, about the only thing I could tell him was John 3:16, for God so loved the world, and he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish but have everlasting life. And all I could do is let me tell you what God did for me. Amen? And that's what it ought to be. We ought to be able to at least tell somebody what God has done for us. God saved me. God took me out of a horrible place. Amen. We need to do that. David says, I will that I may publish with the voice of thanksgiving, tell of all thy wondrous works. When you love someone, you'll talk about that person. Amen. You'll say, hey, you ought to see this man, Jesus. You ought to hear him. Think of the Lord and speak about him. You shouldn't have to be begged to do something for the Lord. You shouldn't have to look in the Word of God and say, well, you know, I don't know if I want to do that or not. But we ought to be able to trust the Lord and do something. But on the other hand, if we don't feel like it, we ought to do it anyways. Amen? If we don't feel like telling somebody, we ought to tell them anyways. Because the more you tell somebody, I think the more you'll enjoy it and more you want to do it. A life of integrity is an obstructed life. It's an obstructed life. Look what it says in verse 8 and 9. Lord, I have loved the habitation of thy house and the place where thine honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with the sinners, nor my life with bloody men. He says, Lord, protect me. Keep me. Amen? Put up a barrier. And that's what we have barriers in our life. Kind of sounds like Matthew 6:13. Lead us not in temptation. Amen. Verse 10 describes these men in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. David wanted God to obstruct. He wanted him to put about a barrier. You know, that's why we have speed limit laws. I mentioned that earlier. I've been kind of a heavy foot guy in the accelerate a lot of my life. You know, my dad used to drive and he'd pull up to an intersection and even if the light was green, he'd slow down a little bit. I was always, what are you doing that for? Just head on through that intersection. My dad was pretty smart. He knew what he was doing. You know, cause that light's going to change in a moment. You might have somebody coming shooting through the other side. There's barriers, those laws. Now, let me tell you, there's laws. I get patient. I drive down the road, and I pull up behind somebody. Someone, come on, Grandpa. You know, I'm a grandpa now, but I'll holler out. Let's get moving. I found that driving around here, a lot of these people around here, especially in Barnesville, they're polite. You know, you pull up to turn somewhere, they'll stop, wave you on. I'm driving out west, especially in California. Boy, it's every man for himself out there. But need barriers. You know, at our house, we have a set of books. And it says, Death in the Grand Canyon. death at Yosemite, death in Yellowstone. We got these, when we went to these different places, we saw these books on the shelf and we took them out and bought them, and it has all the deaths that have happened in these national parks. I mean, it sounds kind of morbid, isn't it? It is, but it's fascinating reading. And you look at how different people died. I just want to take an excerpt. Now, we're talking about barriers. From one of these books, here's a reporter who's writing. He says, listen, chilling statistics from the Grand Canyon this week. 7 people fell to their deaths in 1993, and park officials can't remember a worse year for fatalities. With the exception of a tourist, in fact, a local resident, who had been drinking, and a drifter trying to grab coins tossed on a ledge, the lives were lost by sober, solid citizens who simply had no sense of danger standing on the rim of the mile-deep gorge. They died posing for pictures, leaning over for a better look, or strolling along rocky paths as nonchalantly as they walked through a shopping mall. Warning signs, guardrails, stern words from the rangers, and fear did not register. They were in a park, and that meant the authorities were responsible for their safety, didn't it? Most of the deaths were from people jumping over the barriers to get a closer view of the cliff. Barriers, folks, they're there for a reason. They're there to protect us. And David said to God, God, I want barriers. I want restrictions. Lord, I have loved thy habitation of the house and the place where thy honor dwelleth. Gather not my soul with sinners, nor my life with bloody men, in whose hands is mischief and their right hand is full of bribes. A life of integrity is a life of an obstructive life. Folks, we need obstacles in our way to keep us in God. Amen? That's why we put up standards. That's why so many preachers, when they preach, say, this is what you ought to do, and you shouldn't have this in your life. Amen? We're putting up obstacles. Don't we put up obstacles in front of our children lots of time to keep them safe? Don't you go past here, and don't you go past there. We used to live on a corner in Wayne, Michigan. We used to live on a corner, and there was a lot of traffic up and down. The kids would go out there when they were just little. We try to keep them safe. And I had a lady stop one time and said, boy, I noticed that your kids don't go out into the road. She says, I can't keep my kids out of the road. What do? I said, I spank them. I'm putting up obstacles. I say, if you get out there in the road, if you do it, I'm gonna make you pay for it. But although one day we were in the house and we heard a car go by and honked a horn and said, get out of the road! Went out there and our little Bobby was out in the road in his onesie pajamas running around. Had to go out there and get him. And he learned soon that there are obstacles. Amen. We ought to have obstacles, folks, to keep us safe. That's what God wants. That's what David said. Then a life of integrity is an orderly life. 11 and 12. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregations will I bless the Lord. We ought to be people of integrity. We ought to be trustworthy. We ought to be honest. We ought to be dependable. We ought to be kind. We ought to be generous. That's what David said. My foot standeth in an even place. In the congregation will I bless the Lord. I will walk in mine integrity. Folks, it's important that we have integrity. It's important that we walk after the Lord. It's important that we do the things that we're supposed to do. Have we lost our integrity? Have you lost your integrity? You know, someone said that we're going to fail, but we don't have to be failures. There are times when we're going to sin. There are times when we are going to lose our integrity at a moment. But we don't have to keep that. We don't have to continue to be failures. Reverting back to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If you've lost your integrity in some form, you can always get it back. Now I know with some people, you wrong some people, you'll never trust you again. But you can go forward from that point on and say, I am going to be what God wants me to be. That's what David is saying in this chapter 26 of the book of Psalms. David said, redeem me and be merciful unto me. Look what it says in verse 11. But as for me, I will walk in mine integrity. Redeem me and be merciful unto me. Folks, we can be redeemed. We can get back that integrity if you've lost it. This is an important lesson this morning. It's important for us to remember to consider integrity in our lives and keep it. Let's have a word of prayer this morning. Lord, we love you and thank you for this day. Thank you for this time. Thank you for your scripture. And I pray that you'd help us to have integrity, to be Christians of our word, to be Christians that will do what we say we're going to do and live our lives in an honest and upright way. Pray that you guide and direct us in our lives. And be with us today and be with the services as they follow and the missionary that's here today. And may we have a blessing and a wonderful time in you. I ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right.